You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moreshoreword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moreshoreword.com. That's www.moreshoreword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.
This is number 3, and the last of the series that we're calling Community of Believers. We'll be finishing this today. We've been addressing our relationship together as brothers and sisters in Christ, which we call fellowship, and have been referring to in this study as the community of believers. Even if there were no secret issues or negative feelings between you and me in this present group, we are soon to have others join our ranks in closeness. I expect coming soon are new believers, others that are not new Christians but are ignorant of most spiritual truth of the Word of God and things regarding these last days. So many are believing that they're going to be swept away by the rapture and not have to deal with many things, and they don't know so much about the Word of God. There'll be those that won't be in touch with what the Word has to say. They'll need to know the truth. There will be others still that will come along with those believers that are not yet Christians. Believe me when I say that things are going to arise in your heart and mine that might be recognized as resentment, jealousy, feelings of displeasure, disapproval, and significant disagreement within our church members to different degrees and at different levels. This study should forewarn you of these things ahead in time that you might invite the Holy Spirit to prepare your heart and mind now and quickly. The time is short. To prepare you so that you too can behave as Jesus did in the face of so many that misunderstood Him, that challenged Him, that disagreed and disapproved of Him, and outright hated Him enough to plot and carry out His betrayal and death like some will do to us. We want to behave like Jesus did in these last days, even if it leads to our betrayal and death. For our own good and for the glory of God, we need to do our very best to live in genuine love. Solidarity, that means unity, oneness, and acceptance of each other in view of the great likelihood that we might soon be spending most of our days together and depending on each other in these last days before the Master's return. Ephesians chapter 4, we've referenced it before in the last couple of weeks, but let me read it to you. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Vocation is like your work, the labor that you do. We are called to work in the fields of the Lord. We are called to labor among ourselves, to serve one another. And some of the things that we have to do and put up with and allow are work, sometimes hard work. Walk worthy of the vocation wherein ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring, working at, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Verse 5. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace, according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. But I want you to pay attention. What he gave, he created these as offices in the church. Like in a corporation, you have a president and a CEO and a vice president and a secretary. Those are offices of the corporation. God has created offices in the church, which are, and then he's put men that he has gifted into these offices for this reason. But he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for this reason. For the perfecting, the bringing to maturity, the helping to become whole, for the perfecting of the saints. I mean, right there tells you that we don't come to the church. We're not put into the church already having been perfected. There's a long, long way to go when we're saved and put into the church. For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up of the body of Christ. Let's not indulge ourselves in anything, any talk, any actions, anything that doesn't build up each other. Amen. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, the body of Christ, fitly joined together and compacted by that which is every by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Verse 17. This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth, from now on, walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off, concerning the former conversation, lifestyle, conduct, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members, we are members one of another. Be ye angry, and sin not. Some people can't reconcile that. When they're angry, they feel that that is sin, and that anything that comes about as a result of that is sin. That's not necessarily the case. Jesus was angry at least twice that we know of, and He did not sin. Even though He carried a whip and run some guys twice out of the temple. He did not sin. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up. Otherwise, practice keeping your mouth shut if it doesn't build up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Amen. There is one excellent passage regarding our relationship as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the church, as the community of believers. I believe that the goal of these three messages focusing on fellowship together is that for those of us that still have fleshly influences affecting our fellowship with one another, fleshly influences such as our personal opinions, fleshly influences such as contentions, arguing and contending one with another. That's a fleshly influence. Our prejudices, the things that we don't like automatically. And judgments, of course. Those of us that still have fleshly influences affecting our fellowship with one another, influences that become known through our face, the looks we give or don't give, through our mouth, the words that we say, or the words that we do not say that we should, to encourage and uplift and build up. Our fleshly influences become known through our face, through our mouth, and through the actions that we take or fail to take. The goal is that we recognize our own carnality, not others. We're really good at recognizing the carnality in others, aren't we? We're really good at being able to pick out where they should grow up in Jesus. We're really expert in being able to look at somebody's life and be able to judge quickly how well they're doing as a Christian and what things they should change. I'm not asking you to do that. You're already very good at that if you're like me. What I am suggesting is the goal is for us to recognize our own carnality, our own fleshliness, our own likenesses to the people of the world, and surrender such un-Christ-likeness to the Holy Spirit and to the cross. We are appointed to unity and incorporated into fellowship with both the community of God as Elohim. Maybe you've never thought of that, but God as one is also a community Himself, being Elohim, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit in unity. They are a community of God. We have been called into fellowship with both the community of God as Elohim and into communion with each other. God said when you were born again, whether you heard it or not, or whether you've read it or not, I appoint you, I call you into unity with me, into fellowship with me, into fellowship with those that I put you with. It's an assignment. It's a divine assignment. We must effectively abandon, turn your back on, walk away from, reject, renounce, get healed of, whatever you want to call it. We must effectively abandon to the Lord our disunifying prejudices, short-sighted and petty opinions, and unrighteous judgments of each other. When it is necessary to make judgments, We are taught to do it strictly according to the Word of God and with the help of the Holy Spirit of God in order to do it righteously. To judge righteous judgment, we need to do it according to the Word and with the help and counsel of the Holy Spirit if you have to do such things. But I urge you, unless you're extremely qualified in those things, even avoid trying to make righteous judgments. You could get it wrong. The Bible warns against that. If we do not follow the guidance of the Word and the Spirit, we contribute to disunity and will hold ourselves back in many of the good things that the Lord wants to do in us and through us. Not to mention that we will be sternly judged by the Lord Jesus on the day of our accounting. Let me read you some scriptures here. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. John 7, verse 24, Jesus said, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. Then he said in chapter 8 of John, verse 15, ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. Romans 14. In verse 13, now this is in the context of talking about the foods that we eat, people judging whether they can or can't, and if somebody does or doesn't, and those kinds of things. But it is something that goes well beyond the issue of foods. I just want to give you the context. I don't knowingly or care to take things out of context to try and make a point. That's not right. But Romans chapter 14 is talking about foods and those kinds of things. But listen to this. It says, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Amen. In this third and last part of our study, touching on the fellowship, our fellowship together, we must think along these lines. The second of the two issues we hope to affect in our lives, the first issue we discussed last night being the goal of believers' community to be genuine unity. So the first issue was the issue of unity. And I'm not going to repeat that, but unity helps us to go the same way together for the same reasons. Caring one for another, caring more for the other than we do ourselves. The second of the two issues we hope to affect in our lives is what we called the supernatural acceptance of each other despite the discrepancies we see in each other or the unpleasant things we experience in our close relationships. These are relationships that we have been appointed to and arranged by God when He placed you and me in His church, and specifically this local church family. or for others that might hear this message, whichever local church family God has put them in. I use the word supernatural acceptance on purpose to point out that apart from the help of the Spirit and the daily grace of God, we cannot do this thing on our own. You've got to have God's help. And it's not a kind of a vaccination you get and you're always able to. You need to rely on God to accept me when I am unacceptable in various ways that we've discussed. This supernatural acceptance of each other can only be brought about by allowing the onboard presence of the Spirit of Christ within us and the programming that we receive from the Word of God, whether you have ever thought of it in 21st century terms, when you read the Word of God, you are being programmed by God. It is no different, or it's similar in ways. When somebody needs the computer to do something that's useful, that's helpful, that serves a purpose, they have to sit down, and somebody that understands how the computer thinks and how to give the computer commands, they will write a program that the computer will execute and do the things that we want the computer to do. The Word of God, in a fashion, does that for you and I when we read it. It pours into us instructions and commands and all kinds of situations that we would face and how we can carry out the will of God, the ways of God, under this circumstance or that circumstance. And so let me say again, this supernatural acceptance of each other can only be brought about by allowing the onboard presence of the Spirit of Christ within us and the programming of the Word of God to enable us to look past those little foxes that spoil the vine and not take out a gun and shoot at them instead. There are other prescribed ways to protect the vineyard. To better understand this issue as a problem with our unrenewed mind and any wickedness still hiding in some corner of our heart, we share this for understanding. We are each and every one very different. Just look around you if you care to. Not one of us looks the same. Even those within the same family don't look the same, don't behave the same, don't think the same way. We are each and every one very different, which is the result of many things, such as our gender, our physical age, our life experience, whatever we've gone through, the good, the bad, the ugly, the success, the failures, our life experience to this point, our spiritual progress, and even how the Lord has gifted you and how He has gifted me. Those things, and certainly others we could think of, make us very different, one from the other. And some of those things aren't so nice to be around. We don't appreciate them. And maybe rightfully so, but nevertheless, we are very different, each one of us. There are things and ways about me and you that are some likable and perhaps some unlikable. And that brings us to the matter of our personality. You ever heard somebody say, oh, he has a good personality? Boy, does she have a nasty personality. Or boy, oh boy. You know, they refer to somebody's personality, and it's usually in good terms or bad terms. The word personality, just out of the American Heritage Dictionary, says the quality or condition of being a person. The totality of the qualities and traits as of character or behavior that are peculiar to a specific person. The pattern of collective behavior, behavioral, temperamental, emotional, and mental traits of a person. Talking about personality. distinctive qualities of a person, essentially those distinguishing personal characteristics that make one socially appealing. And it also includes a person as the embodiment, the totality it used earlier, of distinctive traits of mind and behavior. That's the definition of personality that we can apply to each one of us. We each have a personality. We each have a personality, which is how we are perceived by others and is what we have to deal with between us. Some say that our personality is our soul expressing itself and is today the result of all the influences and the experience in life that makes every one of us unique. That's a French word that means one of a kind. And everything that makes us unique, you need to hear this, is something that God has an appreciation for and delights in. Just like every snowflake is one of a kind, so is every human man and woman, and probably each angel too. Except for our sinning, which the Bible commands we stop doing as Christians. Except for our sinning and the personality flaws that have formed in you and me over the years of our lives, those are things that need to be corrected by the Word and the Holy Ghost. Except for those things, God delights in who you are and who I am in our differences. Please understand this. God loves you. And He accepted you just as you were when you were born again from above. It's like the song that says, just as I am. However you were, and you were a filthy, rejectable mess when you came to God. I was too. And God opened up His arms through the Lord Jesus and took you in. And loved you however you came to Him. People that think they need to stop this and quit that and all these other things before they give their life to Jesus, that's a lie from the devil. You need to come to Jesus just the way you are. He accepts you just the way you are. He washes you clean of everything you have been up to that point. He accepts you, and then He begins a work on you that usually takes a lifetime to make you like Jesus. God loves you, and He accepted you just as you were when you were born again from above, just as much as He did the one sitting nearby you in the church that you might lack a warmth or an appreciation for. So gather that up and think about it. God loves me, but He loves brother so-and-so or sister such-and-such just as much as He loves me. And I've got some hard feelings or some real problems with brother such and such or sister so and so. Wow. Listen to this. If you're a parent, you would understand this, especially if you're a parent with, well, if you're a parent, you have children. I said, especially if you're a parent with children. But obviously, if you're a parent, you have children. At least in this world, we do. No parent likes to see the children fight each other. Sister Mary, you've got a large family, and even larger with the grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We have seen Sister Mary at times when she's come to our Tuesday meeting or our Sabbath meeting begin to share and just begin to weep and cry about things that are going on in her family that she hates to see because she loves them. No parent likes to see the children fight each other or say or do hurtful things to each other. Or to hold a grudge against your brother or your sister. Or ill will. Ill feelings toward their brother or sister. No parent likes to see that. Even if clearly one is wrong and the other is right. We don't like to see those things. Because of love. Therefore, we also need to see and appreciate each other as unique and loved by God, who has a wonderful plan for each one of His children. There is no value in or any place for jealousy or ill will between us. Such attitudes, at the very least, will hinder our spiritual progress, and at the extreme will fracture fellowship and will eventually separate us. A spiritually dangerous thing, and itself an effective work of the devil. Let's not participate or help in his cause to separate and divide that which the Lord has called together. Let's not participate in that with our bad attitudes and such. God's word is clear. We are to get along with his help and by love for him and each other. And so therefore, let me suggest two or three things before we move on that might help us to do that very thing. The first is, let us do, no surprise here, let us do what the Word teaches about fellowship, love, the brotherhood between husbands and wives and parents and children and parents, between the church and those that the Lord has appointed to lead the church, the elders. Let us do what the Word teaches and refuse to bypass the wisdom of God's Word by instead giving place to how our carnal heart and carnal mind want to feel and act about a situation or someone. Here's another one. Do not want control or to gain the upper hand over others. That is an attitude of the devil. We're not to lord it over others, as Jesus said. So, if you're a control freak, do not want to have control over others or to gain the upper hand. That is God's place. Give no place in our hearts to carnal pride or vanity or pretend love. If you're faking your love for me, you're dishonoring God and the work that Jesus did and all the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. You need to love me sincerely. And me, you. I can't fake it. And if I'll spend enough time in God's Word and in God's presence, me as a person, by myself, I will not have to fake it. I will love you the way I'm supposed to. Give no place in our hearts to carnal pride or vanity or pretend love. And this next one is, unless it has to do with divisive actions, somebody with an agenda to divide, to cause division, unless it has to do with divisive actions, heresy, bad doctrine, or outright doctrines of devils, which things require the leadership of the local church to take action, unless it has to do with those such things, let us not dispute or argue about much of anything. If we do not agree on something, let us calmly and by love agree that we do not agree on that point and leave it alone. Do not bring it up again with the brother or sister or with others, hoping to gain support for what you think or what you believe. Let's not do these things for the sake of unity and the Lord. Now, what things must we be on guard about? It's almost like we need to spiritually walk around with a weapon, ready to slay that vain imagination Paul talks about that comes up against our brother, our sister, the brothers and sisters at the church, You know, sometimes people get offended by the whole church somehow. And they don't just despise or have feelings of ill feelings against a brother or sister. They have ill feelings against the whole church. We need to walk around armed with the Word of God and what the Word of God says about such fellowship, ready to slay these kinds of things that I'm about to mention. Be on guard. You are on guard for your own good. Number one, we must be on guard about snap judgments. You don't know why such and such happened or those kinds of things, and yet we quickly decide and render judgment, and if we can, sentencing and carry out the execution too. Usually against the personality of another brother or sister, by talking to others that we shouldn't be talking to, by bringing false charges. We need to be on guard against snap judgments on obvious things, especially like how a man or a woman comes across to us. Be careful. What am I speaking of? Simple things. The clothes they wear. Wow, he must have a lot of money. I got to get to know him. Oh man, did you see that lady come in today? Man, did you see how she was dressed? Boy. Oh dear. I had to get up and move. That guy came in and sat down. He stunk so bad I couldn't hardly stand it. Yeah, they were just so unclean and unkept. I couldn't bear to sit next to him or even behind him. Their mannerisms, their attitude, an apparent lack of this or that social skill. We immediately decide what we think about that guy or that gal. Do you know that social scientists have studied this and they say that within 7 seconds of you meeting somebody new, you already know how you feel about them. You've made that decision in 7 seconds. Now that can be changed, but it's hard to do because of the human nature. We've got to be careful about snap decisions, snap judgments, especially when somebody new walks through the door. Another family comes in that something has come up that has really caused them to think about their eternity. And they come in and they're poor, or they maybe aren't even dressed properly, or they haven't been able to take a bath in a few days or whatever. Let's not quickly move to the other side of the room from wherever they're sitting. We need to be on guard about snap judgments on the obvious things. Another thing that we must be on guard about is jealousy. Jealousy over a brother or a sister's spiritual knowledge. Over their calling by God. Some people are jealous of so-and-so's gift of teaching or preaching or being able to evangelize or their gift of the ability to show mercy or their ability to be generous givers. They're jealous over that. Well, God's called them to do that and I wish it was me. And boy, oh boy, I just don't know how I'm going to stand myself. We're jealous over a brother or sister's spiritual knowledge. And do you know that we may have others join our church family here in the days to come before Jesus comes back that will be smarter and more informed than I am? Because there are people like that. I hope you know. I will not be jealous of somebody that knows the Word better than I. I will be delighted that there will be others also who have callings and spiritual knowledge and knowledge of the Word that even goes well past mine. What about spiritual gifts? Certain blessings that they see in those people. Well, why does God bless them? He doesn't bless me. We're jealous over the blessings of others. How about their testimony? Well, look at Miss Goody Two Shoes over there talking about what God has done for her. Well, if I had the nerve, I could get up and give a testimony. It's even better than that. I'd have to make it up, but I could do it. Jealousy over someone's wealth. Or the possessions they have. Or any other thing that can be lusted after. It's lust. You want what they have. Those things we need to be on guard for. When you see that begin to rise up in your thinking and your personality, you take out the Word of God and you kill it dead. For the sake of unity. For the ability to you, for you to accept that man or woman as Jesus does. Another thing we must be on guard about is strong disagreement about what we think the word means or how it is meant to be applied. We need to guard against strong disagreement that leads to separation, leads to hard feelings, it leads to division, and that's the devil's work. And I'm not speaking about serious doctrinal error. That would be the exception. I'm not talking about doctrines of demons. That would be an exception. But just because you don't agree with how I've interpreted the word, don't make a big issue of it, especially with other brothers and sisters or the church. If you have a serious issue, you come to me. Otherwise, remain quiet for the sake of unity. Things that we need to guard against in our fellowship together as a community of believers is disapproval of somebody's prickly habit or routine. They do something that really bugs you. You know, I'm not going to tell you what they are because I don't want to embarrass anybody, but you, some of you guys have some things that really bug me that you do during our meetings. And so this message, as I said, this message is for me too. Me first. We've got to be on guard against disapproval of somebody else's prickly habit or routine. You see, I've learned, having been in the service, when you're out on a march, you're fully packed, you got a weapon over your shoulder, and you're on some kind of a march somewhere, a forced march, and somehow, it's amazing how this happens, but somehow a tiny pebble gets in your boot, works its way down your leg, past your ankle, to the bottom of your foot, and then stays right there. And you may have a mile or two or three to walk or trot at fast time or even run. You cannot stop and take out the pebble. You got to put up with it. And you know what? After a few feet, you learn to deal with it. And you continue the run. There's been many times just out here, working in our around our property, I've been just really busy taking care of something and I was on a mission. Man, I'm going to get this done. It's going to take me another 20, 30 minutes and something will get down in my shoe, get right there in the middle of my foot and it just bugs me and I just say, you know, I'm just going to keep going. And I continue to do the work, running back and forth, side by side and up and down a ladder and everything with this thing in my shoe that bugs me. Thank you, Sister Gail. I didn't know how to finish that sentence. As a Christian. Now, mind you, I didn't have any bad words in my mind. It just bugs me, and I didn't know how to finish that. Brothers and sisters, be careful of allowing disapproval at brother so-and-so or sister such-and-such, something that they do that bugs you. We're called to love one another. In the grand scheme of things, whatever they're doing is no big deal. Especially when the Antichrist comes looking for us. You think I'm going to care that you do this or you do that and I don't like it? Yeah. It does not matter. I'll give you a couple of examples that I've seen over the years. In a prayer meeting, most everybody's down and kneeling and praying quietly. And that's okay. Do it that way. If that's your style, pray that way. Others would be up pacing back and forth quietly. Some are prostrate. You know, I always get that word mixed up, and so does everybody else. Laying on the floor, worshiping God and praying. And some will find a place of prayer, and they will bawl their eyes out. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. And somebody inevitably will walk up to that person at some point and say, I wish you wouldn't do that when I'm trying to pray. You don't need to cry when you're praying. Now, I've been aware of this very circumstance. I've gone to that individual that was a crying prayer and said, you cry all you want. Because there's some people, when they get before God, they are just so overwhelmed with humility that that's all they can do is just about weep at the presence and love of God while they try to get out their own praying. But that's one of those things that some people, they just can't deal with it. Well, if there's somebody praying or crying and praying in your location, go somewhere else. Then there's people that, this happens a lot. I'm preaching or somebody's teaching and you hear somebody saying, amen, brother! Oh, preach it! On all kinds of things like that. Now, I won't comment how that distracts me. I won't tell you how that does. But I will say that I was aware of a situation like that where I let it go. I don't, you know, I just shine it on. But someone years ago had the occasion to behave that way. They would be affirming, yes, yes, amen, brother. Oh, yeah, yeah. And it was a little hard for me to get used to, but I did. You know, that pebble in the shoe thing, right? And somebody went up to that person and said, would you please be quiet when they're preaching? I really wish you wouldn't say anything when Brother Scott is preaching or teaching. Well, the person that was very vocal got their feelings hurt. You know what? That's a prickly habit. Leave it alone. If the ones that are in charge, the ones that are guiding the service, feel it needs to be dealt with, it'll be dealt with. Otherwise, pick up your sword and slay disapproval. And the last one I'll share before we move on quickly is judgment. We need to be on guard against unfair, unrighteous judgment of that brother or that sister's life regarding their spiritual liberties or lack of, or the handling of their own problems and issues. You know, we have a hard time dealing with problems and issues, and sometimes we don't do it the right way, and many times we don't do it in a way that you would approve of. Just be happy that you don't have that problem to deal with. And so I'm urging you to be on guard against the judgments, the unfair, the uninformed judgments of other people and the things of their lives. We're called to love. And to edify, to build up, to strengthen, to comfort. Now, if you have any issue such as these against me or someone nearby, then I again direct you to sincere and honest personal prayer. You get before God with the things that bug you, talk it out, think about His Word, let His Word minister to you and His Spirit speak a phrase or two to you. And I can almost promise you that if you're sincere, if you're honest, you're going to get up from that place of prayer and you won't be bothered by it again. And so I say again, if you have an issue such as any of these against me or someone nearby, then I again direct you to sincere and honest personal prayer about such little foxes that want to cause disharmony between us. Let me read you some of the word here and let you catch up with all that I've been saying. James 2, verse 1. My brethren, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect to persons. For if there come unto your assembly a man with a gold ring in goodly apparel, and there come in also a poor man in vile raiment, and ye have respect to him that weareth the gay clothing, and say unto him, sit thou here in a good place, and say to the poor, stand thou there, or sit here under my footstool, are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my brethren, my beloved brethren, hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin, and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Then he says in chapter 4, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, and any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels of mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Hebrews 13, verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby have some entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Romans 14, verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set it not thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now let us conclude our discussion of 3 weeks on the important subject of our fellowship together with some practical guidelines that can help. If you are born again, this first one is some really, really good advice. If you are not born again, it does not matter. You've got to get born again for this to work. If you're born again, train your spirit. That which Jesus made alive on the day you were born again. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells, and that's where the Word of God is free from the mental bondages that you otherwise put upon it. Train your spirit, where the Word is free and the Holy Spirit resides, train your spirit to take charge of the counseling and the guiding of your mind, your emotions, and your will. Your spirit is what's in touch with God and His Word and His ways. Let it be your Counselor, because there is where the Holy Spirit, who is the Counselor, dwells. Train your spirit to take charge of the counseling and guiding of your mind, emotions, and will. Train your spirit to take charge of your words and actions, rather than responding to the counsel of your fleshly and undisciplined judgments, opinions, and disapprovals. Ask yourself this: what do you say, Lord? And what does the Word teach me about this circumstance or this situation? And by your Spirit, make good decisions about how to handle it or not. If you're born again, do not put your mouth in gear before your mind has checked with your spirit. Some of us in the body of Christ are really quick to let our mouth just slam it in first gear and begin to rail on somebody or say things or give an opinion that really we should have kept to ourselves. And after we give it time to think about it, our spirit says, boy, were you off base there. You should have kept quiet. And so I say again, do not put your mouth in gear before your mind has checked with your spirit. What do you say, God? If you're born again, go to the Lord in private and sincere prayer about things that bug you about me or the one nearby you. If you're born again, go to the elders for honest biblical counsel. If you keep struggling in some area, don't go to the elder's family. Don't go to the elder's wife. Don't go to other brothers and sisters. If you're having trouble, go to the elders of your church for counseling and prayer. And for our church, that would be Brother Noel and myself presently. If you have been directly hurt or offended and you cannot honestly work it out through private prayer, then the Word is clear. You are to go to that brother or sister in love and humility and try to work it out. And there are other instructions, if that doesn't work so well, that we're commanded to do. Again, don't go to other people about something that someone has done that offends you or hurts you. Go to the person themselves. Otherwise, you defy the Word of God. Here is another one. Defy your carnality and go out of your way to attend to and love on the brother or sister that tends to rub you the wrong way. That's a good way to discipline your flesh. Do exactly the opposite of what your flesh wants to do. Serve that brother or sister. Love on that brother or sister. And eventually, if not right away, that thing that they do or that thing that they've said or whatever is no big deal. And unity has been salvaged. Do so with no agenda but to love. The only thing I want to accomplish is to love that brother or sister. Be your own peace officer. You know, that's the guy or the gal that wears a badge and carries a gun, right? To enforce the peace. Be your own peace officer over yourself and arrest your mind, your mouth, your actions, against all appearances of personal attitudes and behaviors that can cause confusion or lead to separation between brothers and sisters that are joined together in Christ. I say it again, be your own peace officer and arrest your mind, your mouth, or your actions when there's the appearance of personal attitudes and behaviors that can cause division, confusion, or lead to separation between brothers and sisters that are otherwise joined together by God. And the last thing is, do these things and others that the Holy Spirit might give you, do these things and more as an act of faith, both knowing and believing that the Holy Spirit and the Word will be honored by your right response and will result in bringing you peace and keeping the unity that the Spirit brings to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, in verse 12, it starts, "For as the body of Christ, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." He's comparing your physical body to the body of believers, with Christ as the head. "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say," and this comes back to the idea that we each have our own personality and differences, and God delights in those things except for the sin and those other things that need to be dealt with. "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members," that's you and me, "every one of them in the body, as it has pleased Him. And if they were all one member, where were the body?" If everybody was an arm, in other words, where would the feet be, or the hands? And "But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor." That's where I'm sharing, go and attend to that brother or sister. Go and love on that brother or sister. "Those we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular." Brothers and sisters, this is the sum of it. We are all different and at different spiritual levels. The new and carnal believer comes to us with issues that, if not serious, should be looked past. Let us rejoice for this soul that Jesus gave His life for on Calvary and not move away from them or judge them or any of the other things that we touched on. Let's rejoice that Jesus has another soul that was saved from destruction. Seek the Lord and His grace for the things that bug you because of a brother or sister's personality, remembering also that we are commanded by the King James Version Holy Bible at 1 Peter 1:22 to love one another with a pure heart fervently. We are a community that will need each other until Jesus returns, and His guidance, grace, and love will help us to walk in unity all the days that yet remain before that great day. We are a community of believers. Praise the Lord. Lord, we do thank You for helping us to bring to the forefront certain things that could really divide and separate and hinder and rip apart those very things that You died to put together. Me with my brother, me with my sister, they with me, their families with my families, and so forth. Especially during these last days, Lord. Oh, we may be getting along just fine, I guess, I think, I presume. But Lord, If we are, there's coming a day when, because people are frightened and suddenly aware that the rapture isn't going to happen before great trouble hits the earth, they're going to be looking for the truth and for a family of believers that will love them and accept them and help them come to know the truth and live according to it and begin to trust you with their lives. Lord, how dare we have preconceived notions and judgments and these kinds of things that would separate them and hold them off at a distance when they need to come ever so close for help and for the work of God. Lord, help us to behave like a genuine community of believers that loves one another fervently with a pure heart. We have no agenda but yours, Lord. No agenda but yours. Lord, and if it's possible, send others with gifts that are wonderful gifts. Lord, I'll not begrudge them the gifts that you've given them, the knowledge of your word that you've given them. Oh, Lord. We open the door for blessings, the blessings of other fellowship with brothers and sisters, with men and women that need Jesus and need those that will love them and care for them. Father, we thank you that by your Spirit and the Word of God, we shall prevail over the flesh and do what is right before God and by the unity of the Spirit and to the brothers and sisters. Lord, for this week, begins tonight at sunset, we ask, Lord, to keep your hand upon us. Lord, that you give us discernment and wisdom. Bless the work of our hands. I pray, keep us safe by the power of God and the holy angels that you dispatch. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You're listening to the Great Joy in Great Tribulation Internet Radio Network, and this is your host, Jim Searcy, reminding you that the King is coming. The Great Joy in Great Tribulation website is located at www.moresureword.com. That's all one word, all small letters, www.moresureword.com. That's www.moresureword.com. On that website, you'll find many things to help the saints scattered abroad build up their most holy faith and prepare to endure to the end of this 42-month Antichrist war on the saints. Once again, this is Jim Searcy reminding you that the King is coming. And our King said, when we see these things come to pass, that we are to look up and know that our redemption draweth nigh. Only be very strong and of good courage. Stay in the Word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. Praise the Lord Jesus.